Hey, this is Charles, Game Master for the Roll Bravely podcast. I just wanted to say that we've been having a blast putting this game on for those of you listening, and we appreciate the downloads and the engagement we've been able to curate and enjoy for the past several months. But as we continue to get into our adventure, our hope has always been to build a community of like-minded gamers interested in the narrative arts and the mysteries that tabletop role-playing games provide us with. This podcast takes a lot of time. And no small amount of effort, despite what it might sometimes sound like, and it's really a labor of love on all of our behalves. That said, engagement matters, so if you are listening to this and you are so inclined, we kindly ask that you please leave us a rating, write a review if you have the time, and give the show a follow. And because we don't want to come to the audience empty-handed, we are running the first competition in the history of the pod. We have been intentionally vague and cagey about the tattoo being designed by Taz for his good friend Amorous, but we would love to see what the deranged minds of our audience might envision. So submit your designs for Taz's tattoo to rollbravely@gmail.com. That's rollbravely@gmail.com. And whichever one impresses us or makes us laugh the hardest, that's going to be the cover art for episode 14, releasing on or around the 20th of October. So make it weird, make it wacky, make it something you'd be proud of to have be a permanent piece of the history of the Roll Bravely podcast. And, well, if you're not interested in any of the above, that's all right. Please join us as we roll bravely on. Thanks, everybody. Hello and welcome to Roll Bravely, a live play Pathfinder 2nd Edition tabletop role-playing game podcast, where five friends bravely roll dice, battle imaginary monsters, and solve pretend problems. I am your Game Master, Charles Reno. Before we get started, let's introduce the table.
Hello, my name is Kenny. I play a ranger named Amorous. He is a tiefling.
I'm Zach. I play a fucking guy liberator named Taldir, who is essentially an Asimar, but technically a Nephilim.
Hi, my name's Sammy. I am Taz. He's an alchemist. Or as Charles would say, alchemist.
You know, because he does all the chemistry.
It's just wrong. It's wrong.
Tomato, potato, it's fine.
Hi, my name is Misha. I play Wesley Nixon, an elf Damphir investigator, who, on the way back last week from the bomb that went off, the mass murder to the inn, I bought a pair of lace gloves.
Yet another costume change mid-scene. Love it. When we last left off, the party had engaged in, I think we covered it, mass murder of several dwarves outside of the Ember headquarters, creating a distraction which allowed them to escape following their heist of information regarding mining site 616. The party
bad dwarves, to be clear. They were not good dwarves.
Yeah, pretty greedy corporate dwarves. That's why they deserve death.
We are for the people.
You were able to escape, where upon Wesley apparently purchased silk gloves.
Lace.
Lace, sorry. Wait, the whole glove is made of lace?
Yeah, they're like really frilly.
Oh.
I'm like turning into full vampire.
Nice.
Yeah. Like with the the ruffle blouse and then the lace gloves, bolo tie.
It's like a very Ayn Rand vampire. I like it.
Ayn Rand and Rice. They both.
Nope. Ayn Rand is the ridiculous political writer. Ayn Rice writes the vampire books.
Yeah, that was Atlas Shrugged, right? Isn't it like Aryan Rand or something?
Yeah.
Is it Ayn or something else?
It's Ayn.
It's Ayn Rand.
There we go. Yeah.
It's like, I've always heard it pronounced Ann, but it is spelled like A-Y-N, so it wouldn't surprise me if it's different.
Oh.
I think it, isn't it? Whatever, who cares? She's terrible.
Stephanie Meyer? Is that what you're going to say? You said she's terrible. I just assumed you were talking about Twilight author.
No. I would rather have a conversation with 40 Stephanie Myers than one, however you pronounce her bullshit name, Rand. not to get sidetracked, but like Atlas Shrugged is just unreadable. Has anybody actually tried to get into that book?
No.
No.
Ugh.
I don't even know what it's about.
It's just 900 pages of conservative jacking off. It's honestly awful. You were able to escape back to
escape. Huh, that's funny. It's spelled like escape.
It's not gonna be a thing. You were able to escape back into the relative safety of the Blushing Goldfinch, where you were staying under the care of one Miss You were approached by Jerry Barnborn, who had perhaps some important information to share with you. However, he was scuttled away and shuttered inside one of the rooms, locked in by Taz, who I believe tied the doors together so that he could not escape.
And hopefully there's nobody in the other room that's tight.
Yeah. It just in the
we'll find out later.
Didn't we say the doors opened up? The opposite?
No, we said it'd be funny if they
did. Oh.
We made it work. Apparently, the key to being good at pretend games is not getting too mired in how doors function.
We're about to kick this guy's ass because this son's a bitch and can't handle his liquor.
Yeah. Lastly, another figure burst into the inn, walked towards the group, and sort of told you that you would have to pay for what you had done to the Kenwick brothers. Particularly, I believe his name was... He had a name. And it was Brad. Brad Kenwick, whose brain was broken by one Taz, no last name.
Does he know it was me? No, I told him. I was just like, we were drinking. But like, I wasn't threatening. I was just like, yeah, I drank with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he hit you with the I kill goblins bullshit, whereupon your party seemed to be riled up for some reason.
Hell yeah.
And a fight broke out. Wesley, you were first. Your first blow connected with him. Go ahead and give me the damage on that.
Okay, so I use strategic strike. Yes. Devised a stratagem, then used strategic strike. Rolled both dice. Got a 12. Mm-hmm. Can I slap him with my glove while I hit him with my sword? Is that possible? Double.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, so... You reach out to strike him with the sword. He kind of like tries to move, but you still slice into him, and you just unload on him with your free hand.
Just the glove, though.
Oh, just the glove. Like the glove is off?
Yeah.
Like an old southern gentleman challenging?
Like a duel. Like a challenge him to a duel and just smacked him.
With the lace glove.
Yeah.
I do declare. All right, that is one action. I believe you still have two more.
That is two actions.
Two. What was this? Oh, drawing the sword.
Devise a strategy.
Oh, well, then that's all three actions. Devise a strategy.
Devise.
Oh, yeah, okay. So that is Wesley's turn. Up next, you three, figure it out. You all have the same initiative. Everyone's got a 21.
Oh, then I'm going. Because that guy was pissing me off talking about Taz, so I'm already jumping across the table, just fucking jumping through the air and just fucking dagger to his chest if I can.
I'm shaking this as that's happening. I'm shaking the shit out of one of my little bombs, making them really quick.
Okay.
Natural 20. Fuck yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Roll that damage.
Taldir's gonna like not have a turn.
Don't worry. I hit him with a dagger.
I think this is bad. I think this guy wanted like a fisticuffs bar fight.
Well,
and like
been,
instead he's getting
racist.
Fucking murdered in cold blood.
You see?
Sorry, I forget. So we're doing damage, double the dice? Or actually, is that a crit? It was a 27 to hit.
Natural 20s are always crits.
Well, not necessarily always, but yeah, certainly that would be a crit.
It's if a natural 20 were not a crit, it like you'd have to be fighting something that's like level 20 when you're level 1. Like
right.
It's insane.
Insanely overleveled.
So technically, it's not always a crit.
So we're doing a double die, right?
I just don't want somebody to be like, idiots, you just increase it by one success category.
Yeah. Rules as written, you're supposed to roll all your dice and then double it. But...
Yeah. We agree.
Is this the old guy right here? Sorry.
Yeah. That's the old guy.
But yeah, I think we've been doing double dice, Kenny.
Cool.
But you also double your bonus as well.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So while he's doing that, I want to do the whole, like, I want to shake the bomb and then, like, sock him with my other hand and fake him out.
Okay.
All right, so that's 12 damage.
Okay.
And then I'm going to ignore his other son and then just fucking... Can I try to do, like, a push kick off of him to try to, like, fucking handspring back out of his way?
Yeah, I mean, mechanically, are you trying to do anything other than move? Because
just kind of like fucking, kind of 2 feet to the chest and then pop backwards so I'm out of reach.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, and then I'm just gonna be back up on the table, kind of fucking crouched, ready to go.
You did it off the guy?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
So then I'm shaking my bomb like if I'm gonna throw it at him, I'll try to uppercut him in the nuts.
Okay. He gets pushed by Amaris, and then a bomb gets thrown at him by Taz. Go ahead and roll the hit on that.
I don't throw the bomb. I just, like, fake it and then punch him in the nuts.
Oh, all right. Make an attack roll.
So I got a 17 total to sock him in the nuts.
17 total, and now I'm totally getting the... D&D rules here, but a open fist or a fist attack in Pathfinder 2E still does 1d4 damage, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus
so go ahead and
strength.
Yeah, 1d4 plus strength.
Which is the same as a dagger, actually.
1d4. Ooh, a 3.
Takes 3 points of damage as you connect with, like, you know, when you're like you're a kid and your uncle who's borderline abusive, like, goes to, like, flick you in the nutsack and he, like, just catches the left one, but, like, fully just right on the face of it. Boom! That's like Taz's little goblin fist just poof, right into the left testicle. He's old.
Yeah.
It's hanging like 8 inches lower than the other one. It's just.
Oh, shit. I'm a speed bag in my next two attacks. Boom, boom.
Go ahead and roll it.
Okay, so the next one is 15.
15? That's a miss.
And then 7 total. Well, minus 1, so 6.
So 2 misses. I'm going to go ahead and roll a... What's your strength bonus?
Zero.
Bolded.
Zero.
Assume I have strength.
Okay, because you connected with a nut punch, and I think it's kind of fun, I'm going to roll a flat DC 10 check to see if he becomes stunned 1 from the nut. Okay, he saves. This is a man who is used to getting punched in the testicles. He kind of, oh, God, and like, steals himself. Is that your turn?
Yes, sir.
I want to mention I've wasted 2 natural 20 now. 20s now on bullshit rolls. So
nice.
Just burning them off.
Keep it up.
But I think that makes it yours, Taldir.
Yeah, Taldir's gonna get in the fucking middle of everyone and, like, try to fucking hold Amriss and Taz off and Wesley and, like calm down. Like
no, fuck
Christ.
That guy. You can't talk to my friend like that.
And then he will fucking look at the old man and just be like, you're done, or like, this is over, or something like that, and roll an intimidation.
Roll it.
Oh, natural 18 for a 23 against his will DC.
Okay.
Damn.
And even if he doesn't stop, if he failed, he would be demoralized.
He does fail. He is demoralized.
He just got socked in the nuts too, you know?
Yeah, you little baby-ass bitch.
And slapped with a glove.
Yeah, he's just looking around like, oh, what? Oh, I didn't. God, I was just. Oh. So he just like pukes a little.
He beat the shit out of him so bad that he has old man voice now.
Tim, and you're tough as fuck.
It was a mistake. All right, what else are you going to do on your turn?
Draw my hammer. I'll say I drew my hammer as I was like moving up to aid in the intimidation and so that I'm ready should he continue the assault.
All right. Okay. So that is your turn. It is his turn. He is going to back up a step, and he's just going to hold his hand up and say, "Well, look, I." Oh God!
Your voice changed, man. Damn.
He's like rubbing at the blood on his side. The voice actor got replaced mid-season. Doing my best. I came in here for an honorable duel, but if you won't oblige me of that, then... Well, I don't aim to mess up Mrs. Ohm's operation more than I have to. And you look around the room and you see, like, people sitting at tables. Nobody's actually gotten up to move. Fights... fairly common in this part of town. However, you are being eyed, and you kind of see the staff, like, moving towards the back. He's going to step forward again as a second action, and he's going to kind of look at Taz, and he's going to say... I do apologize. My blood may have got too heated, and some old prejudices may have surfaced. It was a mistake on my part, and for the error, and to assuage your honor, I would like to call us even and offer you my humblest apologies, sir.
As soon as the word apologize comes out of his lips, Amriss just fucking totally straightens up, already sheathed his dagger, looks like nothing ever happened.
I don't know what half those words you just said meant.
Well, what they mean is I have caused you offense and you have rightfully taken your pound of flesh from me, but...
He accepts. Daldir's just going to interject. He accepts he's fine. Just leave. Like, just get out of here and take your sons, and we never want to see you again.
Amriss's feet are just dangling.
Oblige him.
On the table.
I take my other glove off, and I'm just going like this.
Wait, double gloving?
Double gloving, just waiting for him.
Well, and as this kind of conversation goes on, you see Chaucer, who has kind of been sitting back in his chair, just kind of flipping through the papers that you presented to him, kind of looking at the map and everything. He looks up and from kind of behind you guys, you hear his voice just go, "Hey, Jericho, why don't you get out of here? We really don't need to deal with you right now." And as he kind of like peeks around at the young man, he's going to just turn back to each of you and say, "Well, my sons, it can be a challenge, and I'll be on my way, but if you need work or you're looking to find ways that you can engage with the city as newcomers, you can always look me up. I'm known around these parts as Jericho Thorn. They're not actually my children. They're just like my crew. I call them my boys. They're my boys."
That is very cool. Please leave.
Yeah.
It is cool. I think we're going to call it... Are you guys my boys? I'm going to look at... I'm just going to turn my back on him, and I'm going to look at Taldir, Amaris, and Wesley. Are you guys my boys?
No, you're way too young to be my... I can't be your son.
I'm a girl.
Oh. I feel like I no
sure
longer
am,
be welcome.
And... Yeah, if that wasn't clear, you're not. And then he'll give Taz like a pat on the back and be like, "We can be boys."
Oh. Hell yeah. And I'm going to turn at him and be like, "You're obliged. You can leave."
Bye, Jerry.
"You're obliged."
Oh, well.
Jerry.
That's a weird... anyway, yes, of course.
I got some boys now. Right?
"Come on, Kenwicks. Let's get out of here." And they're like... "Oh, but our brother..." "Shut the fuck up. Got dirty real fast." He's just kind of like holding him by the jackets, like dragging him out towards the front door. and as they leave, like almost like some cheesy Star Wars scene, like the inn just goes back to life and people start eating
the music
and drinking.
Starts playing again.
Yeah, some fucking elephant starts blowing on a weird flute.
Yeah, every time you mention Chaucer, I kept... having this image in my head, and I finally placed it. I keep thinking of Kite from Hunter x Hunter.
Which one is he again? I've seen it, but it's been
a super
long
tall guy, though, don't he? I mean, super
yeah,
tall,
he's
but...
super tall. He uses the big, huge scythe. I think because you said Scythe of the Night, and you give him a kind of effeminate like voice that makes me think like he's like tall, skinny, big ass scythe.
You know what? It works.
Or what does he wear?
Print it.
Yeah. He was short before, but fuck it. New cannon. Now he's real tall.
I always pictured him short.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm tall.
He just magically grows?
Just in the seat?
He just takes it. He just unfolds his leg, and he's like, "Oh, forgot to take these out this morning."
Yeah, he just stands up, and all of a sudden, he's fucking Slender Man.
He got recast mid-scene. The camera panned away for one second. Pans back to a different actor.
Right. It started as, like, young Macaulay Culkin, and now it's Kevin Durant. Just couldn't be more different. It's...
Did we tell Chaucer... Chowder. Did we tell Chowder everything?
Chaucer. It has slowly become like Chaucer, and then it will be Chowder before this adventure is done. I'm pretty certain.
We told them pretty much everything. Other than the only thing we didn't tell them is that we have a map with Dun Kazir on it, but I don't even know that the map of Dun Kazir is like, I don't know that it actually like tells us where Dun Kazir is. It was like incomplete or something like that. I didn't totally note it.
So he also knows that we, and I'm gonna do this like we, you know, blew up some stuff.
Oh, he's well aware of that, Taz. Yeah,
okay,
thank you
okay.
for Yeah.
Okay.
Super aware.
I feel really bad about that, though. I thought I was going to go way different.
Yeah. Did you think he was going to do more damage?
I mean, I want to get my hands on that powder, because, I mean...
So you're mad that you blew up the powder. You thought you were going to be able to save some.
No. I feel bad for the screaming and all that stuff, you know?
Do you feel bad for the half-dead man that Amorous knifed with a piece of wood?
That was supposed to happen, though, because, you know, witnesses... it wasn't even him.
Demon inside of him.
Yeah. No evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what does Chowder want now? Were we waiting on something from Chowder? What actually got interrupted? It's been so long and I'm so tired.
We haven't gotten paid yet, I remember.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So there is a matter of your compensation.
Five gold each, fork it over.
These are valuable documents, and he's going to hand, like, open a little leather pouch and pull out 5 gold pieces. He takes the first stack and pushes it toward Wesley. He takes the second stack, pushes it toward Taldir, another towards Amorous, another towards Taz. He reaches into his bag and he says, "Michelle, what the fuck are you eating?" I can't. I have no idea. It looks wild.
I made ribs.
Oh,
but
awesome.
The Korean ribs, Korean barbecue.
Fuck, I want ribs.
And then gochujang udon noodles. So good.
Ooh, that sounds great.
So good, David.
So good. He's going to reach back into the purse and pull out 4 more stacks of 5 coins and slide them towards the others. You did good work, and I got a lot of useful stuff here. So
how much was that total? So he...
10 each.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm gonna grab the gold and just like, woo! Fucking lit.
Yeah, for the listening audience, which is everyone, Sammy looked very excited.
Hell yeah, dude.
So, what are you going to do next?
Touch my body, throw me on the bed.
As you sing that, Taz like just rubs your arm.
Like, Jerry's upstairs.
Jerry's upstairs.
I feel like every episode now is just going to begin with a song from Zach.
What do you mean begin? We're in the middle.
Yeah,
put it at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, we do have to deal with fucking Jerry, dude.
Not really. I mean, we can just leave him there.
I when I started to like lock him in there, and I'll put air quotations. He started to unbutton his shirt.
Yeah. Don't.
We'll
deal with it. But wait, I can't remember. Have we rested since the heist, or did we talk to Chaucer like it's nighttime because we were gonna meet him at night or something, right?
Yeah, so the heist took place very early in the morning. I could be a little off here, but I think by the time you guys got out, it was probably like regular mid-morning. And then you did say you like took time to heal each other, do all of that, and kind of relax for the afternoon until you met him at dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the evening now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But no, you haven't officially rested. Although... Fill me in. I tried to look a little bit, but I think in the remaster, I'm not sure that long resting really does anything in Pathfinder. Like, you don't truly long rest anymore.
No, I mean, you do. You regain, like, your spell slots. And shit like that. Also, you regain, like, some amount of HP. I think it's, like, your con modifier plus your hit die or something like that.
Right.
But also, it's very important in resolving conditions like drain. Mm-hmm. Which I still am. Which is
should no longer be stupefied, though.
Stupefied is like rounds.
Yeah. It was just like, I think, 10 minutes or something. So make sure you took that off.
Yeah, I did. I don't even know if I ever put it on, because I don't remember if I ever was. Like, I'm pretty sure it's like a round.
Okay, yeah.
So what time is it right now?
Time for you to get a watch. Ew!
Hey!
Oh!
Make one.
What's a watch? Because
I'm an alchemist.
Alchemist.
Did they have watches back then?
The famous school of chemistry watchmaking.
Yeah, it'll be made of acid.
Chronomancy.
Just got a stone on a string with like lions painted on it. yeah, I'd say it's probably about 6-7 o'clock at this point, early evening.
Oh, we can definitely just go and visit the governor, right? And right, we were supposed to go talk to her.
No, we
right?
just talked to Chowder. Who is the governor's right-hand man? I don't see any reason we should talk to the governor. I don't see any reason we should talk to the governor.
Well, I never said right-hand. I mean...
Yeah, dude,
Do you want to pay us to tell her what we told you?
Well, I just...
So that way you don't have to go do it?
I just paid you to tell me what you told me. If you'd like to, you know... continue on the investigation without her input, I assume that's sort of your call to make. She did ask you to investigate the incident at the bathhouse, which may at this point be redundant. Of course, I am deeply interested in what you might find in the mining site now that you have access to its location.
Yeah,
we have access to the location.
Well, you found the site on a map in the Ember office.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly far more interested in pursuing, like, Hilda Onyx Fist and Ember and that whole chain of stuff because the Violet Man. Lavender. Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, Luis Valle de Lavandera.
I'm going to shrug at Amaris when you say who. I'm like,
yeah. The guy from my backstory, dude.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
The story on your back?
Like perfect. A tattoo?
All right.
It's just got a little dancing tal deer on it going across.
It's like the Maui Moana.
So yeah, is there a reason to?
We're young.
Is there a reason to do anything? To talk to the mayor?
Pretty sure we'll
beat
the game. That is
a deeply philosophical question.
I mean, if we're not going to do anything, we don't have to talk to her. I could start on the tattoo.
Huh? Yeah, we. I mean, we do have to deal with Jerry being locked in a room.
I don't think so. Just
is he locked in one of our rooms?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, he's locked in our room.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Oh.
Our... Yeah. I mean, I couldn't just open a random person's room and lock him in there, you know? That'd be weird.
See a man that would be weird.
Yeah, that'd be really weird.
Like a floral coat just, like, enters the... in, and he's, like, just from the doorway... Massive explosion at the Ember facility. Dozens dead.
The town crier.
A tragedy of untold scale and hope's embrace.
Yeah, she.
That's the news. And he just like walks out.
All right, let's go deal with this nerd.
Yeah. Let's go deal with this nerd.
So when we go up to the room.
Oh, I thought you were going to the governor's.
No. Yeah, we're going to Jerry. We're gonna what when we get there, what's happening with the doors that are tied? Nothing.
They're just tied.
So I'll untie them because I'm really good at tying knots. So then I just pull.
Captain tying knots.
Yeah,
my chair, not my problem. It's
hey, it's a useful skill, kid.
Please, please, please tell me you were a Boy Scout.
Just... put that floor there. I didn't put that floor there. Not my floor, not my problem.
Mr. Walkway, Mr. Walkway.
Like, if you really know knots, you're either a Boy Scout or a serial killer, right? Like, there's nobody else who, like, no. Nobody's
sailor.
Like...
Sailor.
Yeah. Or... I go sailing. Like, get out of here, Connecticut. We don't need you.
Get out of here, nerd.
That's as bad as a serial killer, frankly. Like, you grew up with a sailboat?
A sailboat. Creel,
I'll untie him and then step aside for whoever to walk in first on whatever he's doing. In
I've been cursed, I suppose, by the GM to fucking deal with this guy. So I will do that.
All right.
Oh, well, I'm gonna knock first. So I knock.
Right. Come in.
We gotta stuff the rope back in our bag so we can pretend that he wasn't locked in there. Really gaslighting.
Jerry, do you have clothes on?
Right, yeah.
Are you lying, Jerry?
No, I don't. I can't lie. I'm a terrible liar.
Sense motive? I think it's just perception. And
yeah, roll a perception against his,
Deception DC?
Yeah, deception DC.
Hopefully it's not high. 19?
19. He is not lying.
Okay. Alright, then Taldir will go in.
He still has his all bracers right. on.
You open the door, and across from the door is a desk centered under the window in the small room with four beds. Laying just with his knee up in the air and like his penis just hanging over the side of the desk like a fucking summer sausage is Jerry Barnborn with like a little like newsboy hat on his head and just orange body hair covering him like a fucking gorilla.
Is he redhead?
He is not. That's the crazy thing. Like
this feels like it goes against the spirit of a perception, like of a sense motive, but
He raises his free hand, tips the cap in your direction, looks at the group behind you, and he's just like, Menage a cinco. Nice.
And he's got a completely different voice now. That's interesting.
This is my
I'm gonna
tell
Taldir, I'll be like, I told you he was unbuttoning his shirt when I locked him in here.
Yeah, thanks, Taz. Jerry, get dressed. This is not that.
Oh, right. This isn't what we're doing then. We're not.
No, you course, came to us. You need to tell us what you came to us for.
Right, sorry. Just airing out the old noodle. And he like wiggles his
Wesley's
hips around.
Wesley's behind everyone going like this.
Wesley, you're trying to zoom in. You're trying to zoom
watching.
In. What's up?
I'm just trying to peek in to like see like what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm in fear, but I can't stop watching.
Yeah. It just rattles around like a white freckled snake.
Taldir's no stranger to penises. This doesn't even like, faze him.
He's like, right. He starts pulling out his pants. He's like, I came to warn you. Jericho's looking for you.
Oh.
Thanks, Jerry.
I thought, yeah, anything for my buddy, Taldir. Really.
Yep. All right, see ya.
Right, wanted to invite you to a ceremony in the morning. Apparently, I'm receiving a Medal of Honor for the city in honor of my heroic efforts supporting the victims of the massive explosion, which you may or may not have caused this morning.
Not may or may not. We didn't.
Did
we
not.
We did not
did
cause
not.
It, Jerry.
Did not. Did I'm going to draw my dagger. Ching. Did not.
And just grab him by the shoulders. It's okay. It's okay. We didn't do it. There's no need for that.
Did not cause it. They asked me, were they involved? And I said, I don't think so.
I get one of my gloves and I smack them.
He's like, wait.
Oh, we weren't there.
Charles, I thought we weren't doing this. And he starts to unbutton his shirt again.
Charles is like forcing us to be murder hobos. Like, he's not giving us a lot of options. He just fucking injected this fucking random NPC into the adventure and then made him a problem we have to deal with.
You gotta love it, because two episodes ago he was like, how do I make the party not murder hobos?
Yeah. And then he's like, let me put this random-ass NPC for comedy in here, and then he's also going to be a witness to the greatest crime you've ever committed. And he's going to be so dumb that he's going to talk about it.
The greatest crime you've ever committed.
Nope, right, point taken. I'm going to fuck off now. If you'd like to attend my ceremony, I get a plus one. I told them I'd invite my partner.
I get a plus... Oh, I thought you meant a plus one mechanically.
No, just to the... Yes, this is a new...
He's already a level 20.
But there's...
I got this ring of plus one.
Yeah, we probably won't be there, Jerry. We've got way more important things to do.
Understood.
I mean, that sounds pretty important, though. They're honoring him.
It doesn't sound that important.
He's going to take his newsboy cap off and just put it on Taldir's head and pat him on the cheek and be like, till next time, then. Right. And just push past you out the door.
I hate this so much.
Hey, say what you want about him, but he knows how to exit a room, you know?
I hate that.
Never to be heard of again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, then we'll rest.
I'm not sleeping on that bed.
I call this one.
I'll jump on that bed.
That's not the one I was going for.
He was actually just naked, strewn across the desk in the room, so all the beds are fine. But I wouldn't write any letters. You like look at the desk and you're like, is that dandruff? Or like, what does he have? There's so many flakes just on everything.
It has to be ash, right? It's ash.
Ew.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm definitely not using my pillow. Yeah. It's gonna push that up to the floor.
I'm not getting close to.
No, it's ash. It's ash. It has to be ash. I'll taste it.
Oh no.
It tastes like
soot. I fall asleep standing up. I'm against
the
wall.
Ash. It's ash.
It's ash?
It's ash, guys. It's ash.
Wesley's like, I'm too rich for this.
I found myself with my glove.
It just lets all the air through it.
All right. I'm going to go close the door, and I'm going to set a charge against the door. In case he comes back.
Okay.
He's going to... Yeah,
you better not be putting a big one again.
No. Better be non-lethal, so that when the fucking bellhop comes to clean the room, they don't kill themselves.
No, and I just start taking it down.
Yeah, you see that?
I'm gonna go back into the door and be like, "Here, I got this," and I'm just gonna put I'm gonna wedge something in the door so if something that will fall and like kind of. Tink on the floor to wake us up to alert us.
That's
you perfectly balance a cup on the knob. Like this.
just
walk away.
Full of water so that it hits whoever opens the door. Yeah, alright, so you guys feel free to rest and take whatever delights you get from that. And then kind of game plan where you want to go next, how you want to approach the next portion of the adventure.
How do you heal? Taldir, you were saying it's the constitution.
I think
you
already
what?
Healed us.
Oh, it's like, yeah, everybody's full healed already, but...
Oh, never mind.
Oh, wait, shit. Wesley can't be healed that way, right? So how do we heal Wesley?
No, Wesley can be healed that way. I'm not.
There's not.
I'm not using.
Not through holy means.
Yeah, I'm not using magical means to do it.
Oh, so you can. Oh, okay, cool. I remember that. Just testing you.
Although that is a good call, because in the last episode that I listened to, episode 7, I did hit Wesley with void energy, and we forgot that does not harm her in the moment. So, good to keep that in mind.
I think, actually, I think this is the perfect amount of time to, like, I could just give you the tattoo right now, Amherst. It's like, what, 7 o'clock?
Right now.
Yeah.
Can I see the tattoo?
Yeah. And then I think the last rendition is you should, it should just be me, my face. So it's, it looks like Batman. like crooked lines, you know? Except one ear's really like low, like a nub.
Yeah. No, we didn't have to.
This is good.
Looking at Wesley, like we didn't have to do the Tildegar. No, we.
This is really good. I think this is the final draft. I think this is ready to be on scale.
Yeah, we didn't. We didn't make plans. So yeah, let's do it.
Sweet.
He's just nodding like.
So as Amherst and Taldir, or as Amherst and Taz begin the tattoo process, where's it going?
Shoulder blade.
Oh. Like upper back or like?
Yeah, that's where the shoulder blade is.
Okay. Well,
it's not gonna be. It's not gonna be a tramp stamp if that's what you're trying to.
I'm not an anatomician or whatever they're called.
It's an animatron.
Educated person.
Yeah. Just a simple country chicken.
I only went to law school, not doctor school.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Tattoo you so good, bro.
So go ahead and Taz. Let's see. Why don't you go ahead and roll? Unless you've got a better idea, I'm not stalling for time.
I mean, I want it to look unintentionally bad. I'm not trying, like, you know, I'm not a tattoo artist, so it's gonna be.
I mean, it's usually a crafting trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna say crafting. I'm looking at the list. That seems right. Go ahead and roll a crafting check.
Shit.
Hey, but remember to just make it, you know, the size we talked about, kind of small, because I wanted to save room for other stuff later on down the line.
Oh, I'll tattoo whatever you want on you, dude. It's fine.
You don't even have to tell us what the number is. Just describe how the tattoo comes out for us, if you don't mind.
It looks exactly how it looks on the parchment paper. It's like crooked lines. It kind of looks like Batman with like sharp teeth, but like instead of like two horns, it's like nubby for one side, because, you know, I don't have one of my ears. And it looks like that, just very large. It's like I took up a quarter of his back.
So it's like that whole upper quadrant.
The whole upper left side is that tattoo. I rolled a 17 plus 7.
So it came out exactly right.
Is there...
You know what I would love to see is some, if we have any artists listening, anybody wants to draw what they think this looks like? I think he painted a pretty good picture with words. I'd like to see a picture painted with other mediums.
Yeah, I think that would be great. And you know what? Kenny will get the best one tattooed on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd actually be down to get that tattooed. Like, I don't even care if one of you guys wants to draw it. I would actually be hella down to get that tattooed. Not on my shoulder, obviously, but
just on your back. Not your shoulder, not that big. Your back.
Yeah.
Whole upper back.
I feel like a little 2-inch.
Yeah.
Version? A little 2-inch version?
Michelle is ranging from
the size of
from a half inch to 4 inches with her fingers.
It's just. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Oh.
So,
the
Lord of
the Rings guy's got the One Ring tattooed on him. We're just going to have shitty, fucked up Batman on us.
Yeah, so how's this tattoo like kind of fun.
What is this, the stick poke tattoos, or how you doing this? Did you make some kind of machine?
Oh, yeah. No, it's stick and poke.
Mm. Got that classic, like, what is it, like the needle and hammer? Like,
it's more like me just, like, scraping.
Like a blade in ink.
Yeah. Just
like microblading some eyebrows on me.
And I'm sweating. I am sweating.
This is the most intense we've seen, Taz.
So. I had a list. I don't know exactly where it is, but because I have Le Feature, I can imbue the tattoo with a spell. Ooh.
Yeah, I think there's like a list of spells that are allowed. And they're generally not like fucking fireball.
No, because it's second level or lower.
Yeah.
But it doesn't exactly save what, just second level lower.
Yeah, I think.
And eventually it'll go to seventh.
Yeah, sticking with that is fine, I think. Shouldn't grossly unbalance the game. And it's like one use per day, I believe, right?
I'm not sure.
I think that was right.
I just give the tattoos, man. Yeah, I don't know the rules.
The game's a lot easier that way.
I'll look it up in between episodes.
Yeah, we'll get it figured out.
I remember I saved a list. Oh, I can't find it. Cool. All right. But yeah. You're tatted now, dude.
I'm in pain.
Tatted and scatted, bro.
Definitely don't want the second part of that.
Oh. Especially not together. Could you imagine? Just the hepatitis. Okay, so we get towards the middle of the night before this tattoo is finally completed. Is everybody resting, or what are you going to do?
Yeah, Taldir's already passed out.
I'm reading my book.
Nice. Anything interesting happening?
Everyone's getting TB.
It's getting TB. It is a Western, all right.
I'm just trying to pretend that I'm not in excruciating pain, and I'm gonna lay down, single tear just running down my face constantly. but facing the wall.
You roll over and there's just like a blood soaked Batman on your sheets.
And as I'm getting ready to go to sleep, I'll look through my bag and be like, I could have used this to like numb you. Damn. And I'll put it away. Next time. I'll use it next time.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you wouldn't have felt anything. It would have been crazy.
So, as the party begins to rest, Michelle, you have that elf thing, right? You only sleep 4 hours a night or whatever?
That was D&D. I don't know if the same thing happens. Oh, yeah. I could sleep for 4 hours. I just don't short heal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the same thing. It's like, you only like meditate for 4 hours, but you still have to rest for 8.
Yeah. You can like read books or whatever. Like, you can't do a whole bunch of stuff. But as the others kind of drift off to sleep, you complete your 4 hours of meditation. And you hear like a tapping on the window, just anybody who wants to can roll a perception check as well.
Do I roll a perception check?
I would say because you're awake at this point, you don't need to. You would just hear it. But if anybody asleep who wants to try to hear it, can roll a perception check.
I got a 10 on that.
I'm snoring hard as fuck.
I also got a 10, or my perception DC, essentially passive perception, would be 15. And I am asleep, so...
The tapping continues.
My fangs come out. My eyes get all black. Is it like... Who's near the window? Paint a picture for me.
So there are kind of four beds in the room. In the middle of the room to the east is the doorway in. Across from it is the desk that sits just below the window. I would guess that two of your party members are in the beds to the north and south of the window, with the third one in the bed, probably directly, you know, next to the door, whichever one you weren't occupying. They all seem kind of sound asleep, but it is pitch black.
Okay. Or am I, I have dark vision, so can I see throughout the room?
Yeah.
Okay, do I see, like, somebody's knife that's just, like, hanging on their person so I could just go in really quickly? Because I don't have an actual, like, dagger, I don't believe.
Yeah, I think, I don't know who took the loot last time, but you did pull the fulmination fang from the dwarven armory inside Ember. So that would be probably just loose in someone's possessions at the moment.
I also have a dagger sheathed, like... behind me, my waist above my butt, and I sleep with my butt near like a kid, so there's that, you know.
What is
going to take it out with my teeth?
The fulmination fang, did we ever look that up?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, do we know that it's the fulmination fang? Do we know that it's magic? Do we know what it does, or no?
No, we haven't.
Yeah, I gave it to you in the moment, because you're going to have plenty of downtime to do all of that. And
okay.
Why make people sit around and roll arcana checks or whatever?
Oh, what the fuck? The plus one striking gun sword.
Gun?
Yeah, plus one striking gun sword. I should probably read the whole thing. Their insulating properties grant their wielder some protection against electricity. Activate lightning rod. Trigger, you take electricity damage. Effect, you gain resistance 5 to the triggering damage, and the fulmination fang crackles with the absorbed energy. You can interact to change between the gun sword's current usage, melee to ranged, or ranged to melee. The next melee strike you make with the fulmination fang within the next minute deals an additional 1d6 electricity damage. After a minute, the absorbed energy dissipates. So it's got plus one. Yeah, so it's got a striking rune, huge, and a weapon potency rune, huge. Which can be removed from the weapon and put on other people's weapons. But essentially plus one is, plus one to hit and damage. Plus one to hit. Striking increases the weapon damage dice it deals to 2 instead of 1. So, like, for instance, if you would roll 1d6 now, Michelle, you would roll 2d6. For your damage, or like your longbow, Kenny, 1d8 becomes 2d8, etc.
Damn, I want that shit.
Okay, well, right now I'm using Taz's dagger because it was like closer to me.
His ass dagger, got it.
His ass dagger. So I just take his ass dagger and then walk over to the window and slowly open the. I'm assuming there's like a curtain.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll slowly open the curtain to see what's out there.
You pull back the curtain, and it is a jet black crow just kind of like hopping on its feet. When it sees you, it's just like, and taps on the window again.
Do I get a bad vibe, or am I like, he's here to tell me a secret?
Roll a perception check.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
That is a fucking sick item.
It's pretty sick, dude.
10.
10. You're really not sure?
I'm gonna go with it. I'll open the window for him.
Okay. You open the window. It slides up. And as you do, the bird hops onto the windowsill, opens its mouth. And its mouth hangs open. And from the crow, or raven, whatever bird it is, the voice of your mother comes forward and says, Wesley, it's time to report in. And that is where we will end our session this week. Please join us next time as we roll bravely on.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night. Good morning.
Roll Bravely is a fan production featuring the Pathfinder 2nd Edition role-playing system and is created for entertainment purposes only. All characters, adventures, and interpretations of game mechanics are our own creation and do not represent official Pathfinder content. Pathfinder and all related trademarks are owned by Paizo Inc. We are not affiliated with nor endorsed by Paizo Inc. Game content may include fantasy violence, mature themes, and improvised gameplay that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Thank you for listening, and please join us next time as we roll bravely on.